So I want to start off by saying we did not do this intentionally. A coworker of mine paid me and Danny to talk about this movie.
This is our
we're not bullshitting about this, right?
We are being paid for this review.
Like, I wish we were kidding. Like, we're actually not kidding. I know you guys might think that we are, but like, we had no bit in this intro. This is actually just somebody giving us both $20 to review this.
I did not want to review this. In fact, my whole thing with my Letterboxd review was I was just not going to review it. Like, I was just going to put down that I watched it. Like, that's pretty much all I was going to do. But now that we're doing this, I'm like, all right, fuck it. I got some things to say.
Yeah. So, this is Civil War, the latest A24 film and their highest budgeted movie.
Latest Marvel film.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, well, here's my quick review of it. It fucking sucked.
Captain America
Civil War is a bad movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I don't know why we're doing this review. Why are we doing this review?
Because some guy's paying us $20 each.
To review a Marvel movie I haven't
seen?
That
came out in 2016, no less.
Is your friend okay?
No, I think he might be mentally insane. But regardless, so Civil War is the latest A24 film and is A24's highest budgeted film at $50 million. Because for those of you that don't know, A24 is making a turn with their company, which I'm kind of on the fence about. So because a lot of their smaller movies that are made on, you know, kind of independent budgets and stuff haven't really been doing as well, they decided in a way to kind of keep profits that they will now be shifting to be making more big blockbuster movies. And so Civil War is kind of the first rollout of that. It's directed by somebody that's made a lot of in-house artsy films with A24 and Alex Garland. It has a premise that's kind of very open scale across the country, and it's about something that, not to knock on wood, hopefully won't happen one day with current elections and stuff, but we'll see. And also at the same time, it was given the highest budget of any A24 film, so they really were pushing for this one to kind of be the mainstream one that made them a lot of money. Looking at opening night box office results, it made $25 million in its opening weekend, which, not terrible, that's a lot better than I thought it was going to make, but there's a part of me, especially after seeing it now, I don't think this is going to be the hit that they thought it was going to be, and there are two reasons for that. One, this movie, as we both walked out of it, is incredibly frustrating. And for people that are going to try to make the argument that's the point of it, I would argue at the same time, if you're going to make a movie about a civil war that could happen here someday, it's got to show something or at least say something. And the biggest problem with this movie for the both of us is that it didn't say anything. And two, this is directed by Alex Garland. Now, I like Alex Garland as a director, but I do not love him as a director. Ex Machina is one of my favorite A24 films. That's my number 6 favorite A24 film. And then Annihilation I liked, but all its characters are kind of boring and flat to me. It's also kind of somewhat being a remake of the 1979 Stalker movie that Tarkovsky made. And then Men, which you and I both saw in theaters, and I remember coming out going, I just didn't like that. It really throws its main character to the side at the ending, and it like basically gives her the backseat to where she's not even distinguishable from the audience at that point, which I just didn't love. So Alex Garland is very good when it comes to the technical aspects of directing, but when it comes to narratives, the guy just doesn't know what he wants to say. And all his movies besides Ex Machina are kind of like that. I have not seen Devs, the TV series, so I won't speak on that yet. I don't know if I'll ever watch it, to be honest. But, yeah, so this is Civil War. I'll give the plot synopsis, and then I'm going to let Danny say a little bit of what she wants to say. So the plot synopsis of this movie is Kirsten Dunst is a photojournalist that travels with other photojournalists across the globe, taking pictures of things that are happening either in the world or in America. And because America is in a civil war, she is now traveling around and hoping to get to Washington, D.C. to take a photograph of Nick Offerman, the president of the United States, before the Western forces of Texas and California, already couldn't buy that, decide to invade the White House and kill him. So, Danny, you want to open the floor here with your general thoughts before we dive into it?
Man, this whole movie is fucking frustrating to watch. Alex Garland had, like you said, absolutely nothing to say with this movie, but yet had so much for us to watch.
Correct.
It's a very nice-looking movie.
It looks great.
Amazing. Yeah. There's some very beautiful parts in this movie. But it's contrasted with characters I don't care about for the most part.
Correct.
Just general bad writing. Yeah. A story that I still don't fully understand just because he left out too many details. He didn't do the good balancing act.
No, he didn't.
Of putting in the right amount of details but not giving too many details. And, I get the general gist of the story. And it's pretty fucking frustrating and just not that interesting.
Yeah.
And the basic plot itself is pretty
pretty out there.
Pretty standard, because it's just unwilling mentor taking in a quote-unquote student who, you know, like, pesters her way in. It's like, I've seen it before.
Yeah. So we'll kind of unpack the characters and then kind of talk about the narrative too and some of the choices the movie decides to make. So when you say the characters are uninteresting, that's kind of my problem with it, because the movie not only is trying to be kind of, it's not even a commentary, but it's trying to be about an American Civil War, but it's also trying to be a movie about journalism, but it creates this really weird dynamic to where it doesn't know what it wants to be a commentary about. Is it about journalism, or is it about our characters that are journalists? Because essentially the movie never really makes that distinction, and for the most part, it's a rudimentary view of journalism. Like, it's not even really something that comments on it. Yeah. And you were kind of pointing out as we walked out, it kind of feels like an anti-journalism movie in a way, but even then it doesn't stick to that.
Yeah, it's just very back and forth with what it feels like it wants to be. And not even to mention that, like, yeah, war is fucking crazy. We've already seen a bunch of war movies that talk about, like, you know, the struggles that the military and stuff go through. But we don't really see a lot of war movies that talk about the struggles that journalists go through. Because journalists are often times, like, they've got a target on their back just by being the press, you know? And the movie just didn't talk about that side of things at all, it felt like. Like, yeah, I think maybe like one or two journalists get killed, but it's not a thing about journalism. It's a race thing.
Yeah, you know? At one point, weirdly.
Yeah, it's like, just if you're gonna make a movie that's trying to comment on journalism, at least try to go more in depth instead of just kind of surface level.
Yeah, and Kirsten Dunst's performance was kind of a little bit meh to me.
Yeah.
Now, there were points where I was like, I get it. She's the reluctant, like you were saying, mentor that doesn't really want to teach the student. And so that's kind of her character. And there's not really like a shift in her arc or anything besides at the ending, which we'll talk about in a second, which I just couldn't buy at the ending.
Oh, this movie has a realistic portrayal of a panic attack, Hayden.
Oh my God, you're right.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Puss in Boots put all these movies on the map. But no, like, her character is essentially kind of just nothing and flat, and there's no backstory really for her besides we see like flashbacks of her taking photos, but that's about it.
We get a little bit of backstory with, like, she's from Colorado, her I think her dad or her parents still live in Colorado, and they're trying to ignore the war that's going on, and there's a parallel of that with the new girl that she takes in.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad lives on a farm somewhere and is ignoring what's going on. And I guess it's supposed to kind of talk about how war breaks people, because, like, the whole time Kirsten Dunst, her character is just kind of an asshole.
Yeah, like,
why am I supposed to care about her? She's kind of an asshole. But I guess it's supposed to talk about, like, you know, how war can just fuck you up, and you have to be prepared for that by even just being a journalist. But, like, the way she goes about it is just not good.
Yeah.
And, like, the other characters, even in the movie, are like, hey, you're kind of being a fucking asshole.
Yeah, so Wagner Moura, who I liked in Narcos, and honestly, he's a pretty good actor for the most part. You pointed out it felt like they wanted Pedro Pascal for the movie, which I'm sure they couldn't get because of his filming schedule and how much shit he's
just
in
just
now.
The way that he kind of acted in this movie kind of reminded me of, like, the way I've seen Pedro Pascal act in previous things I've
he's
seen him in.
He's definitely the comedic relief of the movie, because he's supposed to add levity in most scenes of, like, darkness and stuff, and it's a good contrast somewhat to Kirsten Dunst, because you're at least like, well, somebody at least, like, has character and emotion in this. But at the same time, like, by the ending, he kind of becomes that crass asshole, kind of like her, because they lose somebody in the movie, and then there's just, like, a big shift with his character where he's not even having fun anymore. He's just wanting to get to the president for the quote.
Yeah.
And even then, I'm kind of like, well, there's nothing interesting there, because we don't get a backstory for him. We don't get any character for him.
Yeah.
And Stephen McKinley Henderson, who I liked in Dune, and he's a pretty good actor, really is the weakest link in this movie, and that kind of sucks, because he's the veteran of photojournalism, and he talks a little bit about his past and, like, oh, I've been doing this for how many years, but again, nothing there. And he has, like, one scene in the first act where he's sitting on a couch with Kirsten Dunst, and he's like, so it's like an existential thing, you know, about, like, doing this, and, like, what does it mean to show these photos, will it really change America? But it goes nowhere, like, and that's kind of the problem. And then Callie Spaney's character, we both liked for the most part, but there's a point in the movie where she kind of becomes Kirsten Dunst, and I just kind of checked out after that, because that natural progression arc for her, I just couldn't buy, pretty much.
The actor that we were talking about that felt like the Pedro Pascal fill-in, what was his name again?
Wagner Moura.
I had something I was going to say. So with his character, the whole movie, he's, you know, he's smoking weed, he's drinking, and he's enjoying all this because, like, that's just how his character is.
He gets off to it.
He at some point he's like, gunfire is making me hard or something like that.
Yeah, it's weird.
He feels like almost like one of the characters from Apocalypse Now, almost.
Kind of.
Where he's like excited about it because he thinks this is just some kind of like almost like a party or something, like an event that they're going to rather than war. And then he finally gets there, a scene that we'll get to later, and it breaks him. And like, that's why I like his character, because like, yeah, he's kind of annoying and goofy the whole time. And then he gets to that point and then he's just pretty hardcore serious the whole time.
Yeah. Like he just shifts.
He snaps and he just shifts. And the same thing for the girl too.
Yeah.
That was like her turning point. In fact, I would say even for Kirsten Dunst, that was her turning point. Because
kind of
that's the point where, like, right after that, they're going into towards the president, and that's when she's having the panic attack, is like right after that and everything.
Yeah, it's frustrating with the characters, but it's even more frustrating with the narrative, because if you're gonna call the movie Civil War and you're gonna make it a movie that comes out in an election year, no less, which a lot of people have pointed out, there has to be something that's been said, or at least we have to know a little bit about what led America to it. And I know for some people they don't need to know, and I'm fine with that too. I was like, okay, if they give us the bare minimum or toed the line, I'd be cool with it. But they really don't. They just say Texas and California, two vastly political different states, teamed up to go take down the White House. And I'm like, I can't buy that there, because I have to know why they really did that. Because then you're just thinking about, well, Texas is a big gun Republican state, California is more of a liberal, laid-back beach state and everything. And, like, their ideologies on, like, what, you know, people's basic rights should be are very different from the world. So you can't kind of buy into that if you don't understand tangibly, like, why they do this. And at the same time, like, throughout the movie, they just, like, listen to Nick Offerman on the radio, and he's just trying to save his skin. We don't even know where Nick Offerman leans as a president. Like, is he supposed to be a Democrat? Is he supposed to be a Republican?
He's only in the movie for, like,
10 minutes total. I'd say, like, two minutes.
He's in the movie. Yeah, like, 2 minutes. But, like, his voice appears throughout multiple times, so it feels like longer almost. Yeah,
and even then, like, him as the president, it kept reminding me of, like, Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I mean, it's a little goofy because I can't buy him as the president, but at the same time, like, his minimal screen time is it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't bug me, but, like, there's nothing there to latch onto. And especially because, again, like I said, we don't know what type of president he is, because at one point they make a thing about, like, did you want to dissolve the FBI? And, like, every independent president that's run has been like, oh, you know, we don't need the FBI, CIA, anything like that. So is he supposed to be, like, the first independent president that ran, that, like, ruined the country with all his policies? And, like, they just never give us anything to say or, like, even take back. Like, it's just...
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like there's much world building.
And that's insane, because the production design is so good in this movie.
It's such a, like, it feels like an apocalyptic movie. It feels like genuinely, like, they put a lot of effort into it. Like, they had fucking car pileups and shit, you know? They were exploding shit. And like, they had some good quality stuff going in this movie. But it's just bogged down by a pretty disappointing plot in general.
And like, there, the action, I will say, is pretty damn well choreographed and like effective. And the one thing I loved is they implemented the actual pictures into like the action itself. So like, there'll be breaks where there's, you know, loud gun violence, then click and we see the picture that's been taken. I'm like, okay, that's good shit right there.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate all that. In like, they're going with some WF forces and watching them kill soldiers and stuff. You know, they stop off at a gas station at one point, and there's this, I don't know what you even want to say, like, these people that own it that, like, aren't going to give away their gas unless they're, like, given some sort of currency that's not American. And so it takes Canadian dollars for them to be like, okay, we'll give you gas. Because
presumably the American dollar crashed and the Canadian dollar went up.
Which I guess would make sense in a way.
If a civil war broke out.
But then there's a sequence there where Callie Spaney goes down to this, like, car wash that's been, you know, broken to pieces. And there's two guys being hung. They're beaten and bloodied and stuff. And the character that's there is like, oh, are they going to make a point or something about him? No, he's just neutral. He's just like, we shoot the guys or let them go. And then Kirsten Dunst kind of, you know, diffuses it and is like, oh, just stand in the middle, let me take your picture. And like, nothing happens there really. And like, even if it's supposed to be a commentary about like what people become in a civil war, it just doesn't feel like it really reaches that point.
And there's also, I feel like there's a lot of this movie that was meant to be shocking. I feel like there was a lot of this movie that relied on shock value. And I just don't think that works anymore.
Yeah.
As far as a movie like this goes, because like a lot of people are already desensitized to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like there's gore and blood and people set on fire and like you see people like bleeding out and stuff, and it's like, okay, but we've seen all this.
Yeah, we've had war movies for pretty much ever since film has existed, you know?
Yeah.
And we've pretty much seen everything that this movie's showing us. Like in the beginning when Kirsten Dunst first meets the girl,
Callie Spaney's character,
When she first meets her, there's a part where a terrorist holding an American flag, a terrorist runs in and blows up this riot or whatever. And I don't remember where I was going with that. I lost my
Neither
train
did the
of
movie.
I will be honest. I legitimately lost my train of thought.
But, like, it's supposed to be shocking that, like, you know, there'd be, like, in American terrorism.
It wasn't that shocking because, like, we see stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
Even in, like, the news, we see stuff like that all the time. So, like, this has no effect on me.
And they mixed it in at the beginning with, like, real riot footage and stuff of, like, stuff that happens. And I know Alex Garland thanks some certain groups for the footage he was given, which...
Some alt-right folk.
Yeah, and it the whole time I was
not
just
only
like,
thanks, but they would have had to have been paid as well.
Oh, they were paid off, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So that also doesn't really make me feel great because it's like, I get why you wanted it to kind of build into that Civil War stuff, but I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Now we have to get to the obvious scene in the movie, which is Jesse Plemons. So, funny story
I'm
behind
I'm glad
this.
You said his name, because I almost called him Todd.
Everybody just thinks Todd instantly. Yeah. But, so, the funny story of Jesse Plemons is the actor that was supposed to, you know, actually originally do the role dropped out a few days before.
Oh.
And because Kirsten Dunst is married to Jesse Plemons, she was like, oh, I'll get my husband to do it. And so, he came in and apparently just filmed the scene and, like, did it in a matter of days. But, like, I would argue, and I know you said you don't think there's, like, a strong scene before we recorded this, like, the strong scene in the movie to you, but, like, to me, that
now
was
that
the
I
only...
I think about it.
That's the only scene to me that almost worked.
Because, like I was talking about earlier, that, to me, is... That scene's the catalyst for the end of the movie.
Kind of, pretty much,
that scene is the catalyst that it breaks everyone's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's what gets the one guy killed.
C. McKinley, yeah.
The other guy, it's what breaks him emotionally.
And gets him killed. And then
the girl, it's what breaks her emotionally because she falls into the pit of dead bodies. So
she crawls out of it,
So that fucked her up right away. And that's what fucks up Kirsten Dunst, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
Because she watched someone, she watched at least two people she cared about died.
Yeah.
And as well as, like, seeing what the girl's gone through and everything. So that part right there is the catalyst. So that is a pretty powerful...
Yeah. And that was the scene where I thought maybe it was going to have some commentary. Because Jesse Plemons' character asks a very broad question, are you American?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of American are you? And I'm like, oh, so this is where we're going to start unpacking
Central
it.
And... Well, I don't remember
Central, Southern American, like, where are you from, basically? Yeah. And so Wagner Mara's like, I'm from Florida. He's like, okay, Central American. And then Callie Spaney, he's like, you're from Missouri. And he was like, well, do you know why they call it the Show Me State? And she doesn't know. And he kind of laughs at it, which kind of shows, like, you know, maybe that's supposed to be like, oh, most kids our age don't even know, like, the reason for why our state is called what it is. Hell, I couldn't tell you why Ohio is called the reason that it is. So,
Buckeye State?
The Buckeye State.
I
don't know why.
Of all the Buckeyes,
no, man. but like, and then Colorado's the answer from Kirsten Dunst. But then he goes over to, I think his name is Tony, and he's like, you know, he's crying, he's pissing his pants, and he's like, you know.
He already shot his one friend.
Mm-hmm. Guy did nothing and just got
the guy
shot.
Did absolutely nothing. It's just that the rest of the crew walked up and they were like, hey, he's with us, you know, he's with you, he's your friend, and he just shoots him.
Yeah.
And then they get to the other guy.
And he goes, I'm from Hong Kong, and he shoots him because he's like, China,
right,
that's not American. And I was like, oh, so they're gonna make a point. No, because then Steve McKinley runs him over and they all get in the car and run, and I'm like, where, like, this was the scene I felt like it is the catalyst for the characters in a way, but, like, the commentary was as close as it could have gotten that scene, and it doesn't.
Because, like, this is where you really, like, if you're gonna have that, where he's asking, are you American? Like, that's where you really bring out, like, the more of the world building and start explaining, like, why it's why things are like this, you know. Maybe not have like a huge exposition dump, but like there could be some more explaining down there rather than are you American, two people get shot and then they get run over.
And then when we get to the third act, because they've spent the whole movie trying to get to DC to, you know, photograph the president,
they
want,
like,
to
interview him
or interview him too. It's like, oh, well, the government just surrendered, the generals all gave up.
The WF got there and the government surrendered.
And we were like, oh, so, like, all that tension building and everything is kind of gone, because then it goes into the third act, which is a big war scene, basically, which technically impressive, but like it's the last 20 minutes of the movie, and that's kind of like the A24 blockbuster they're going for.
It's the last 20 minutes of the movie, and they put everything they could into it, but why do I care?
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot that goes on that I couldn't buy, like the fact that Callie Spaney's running around rampant taking pictures, and like there are several times where the soldiers tell her stay back and she continues to run forward and get herself in danger and stuff, and like there's never a point where it feels like realistically these soldiers would be like stay back or like they'd shoot her or something like that, because they're trying to get to their mission, their objective to get the president.
Yeah.
And then it leads, of course, to as they're getting towards the Oval Office, Callie Spaney runs out.
They're in the hallway right up to the president's office.
Callie Spaney runs out in the middle. Kirsten Dunst goes out, shoves her, gets shot in the back, falls down. And Callie Spaney, like I said, to go back to that quote about, would you take my picture if I got shot? And Kirsten Dunst's like, what do you think? She takes a picture of Kirsten Dunst as she's shot and falls over.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be like the full circle moment. But I just, like, after that point, I'm like, I knew that was coming. Like, that's basic 101 storytelling, foreshadowing, basically, if you will.
Not only that, but, like, it's another one of those things where, like, why do I care?
Yeah.
You know? Her character has been kind of shitty the whole movie. Why do I care?
Yeah. And I think, you know, once they get to Nick Offerman and pull him out from the Oval Office, and then, you know...
the last 2 minutes of the
movie. Yeah, literally. And Wagner Moore is like, I need a quote, and he just says, please don't kill me. Like...
please don't let them kill me.
Yeah, and then that's it. Like, they take the picture, and then there's needle drops, which there are a lot of needle drops.
There
are
a lot of needle drops, and it was actually distracting.
It was very distracting. Because
it did not feel like it played into the movie at all.
It really alleviated a lot of the tension for me.
It's got that... Fuck, I hate to bring up this movie, but it's almost like how the Super Mario Bros. Movie had just music just dropped in where it wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's basically Civil War verbatim. Like, and I hate to say it because, like, so many people have been arguing about this movie if it's actually genuinely, like, smarter than what people will give it credit for, or, like, people are actually critiquing it for, like, the things that it should say that it doesn't. And it's definitely going to be one of those movies that a lot of people are going to have different takes on, and I get that. But I feel like if you're somebody that, you know, loves film, and you love what it is as an art and what it can teach us, this is not one of those movies you would look into, especially from a company like A24. Yeah. You would expect a lot more because their movies have a lot of great, you know, messages and like themes and stuff. And this one feels kind of like the most generically kind of okay.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that because this is Alex Garland's last movie for a little while, or maybe just in general. And maybe that's part of it too. Maybe he's so burnt out on, like, you know, all the critiques he's gotten for his movies about his narratives never feeling complete and like never having a message, that he just fell out of love with directing. He's like, yeah, I'll do this, and like, you know, I wrote the script, and like, that's, you know, my last screenplay I'm gonna do, and then that's it. I'm just retiring pretty much. And, you know, I get it. Like, everybody falls out of love with directing. There's so many great directors someday that are gonna hang it up, you know.
Yeah.
But in the end, man, you just kind of left me going, there was a lot here you could have done, a lot here you could have said, but in the end, what you gave us is probably the weakest idea you've ever had.
It's just a disappointing mess. Like, that's the best review I can give it, is a disappointing mess.
Because it really is.
It's not even, like, a movie that I want to recommend to anybody. Because there's nothing really worth watching it for.
Yeah.
Other than maybe for some, like, pretty cool effects or something. But, like, I don't know, there were some pretty wonky effects. Yeah.
This was filmed in IMAX, too, as a lot of people know. And we didn't see it in IMAX, but, like, I would imagine maybe in IMAX, like, the sound's amplified more. Because it's a great-sounding movie.
It was loud as fuck. Yeah. Like, there were a couple times where gunshots legitimately, like, made me jump because it was so loud.
That's affected too.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the end, I'm not going to recommend this to anyone. I at one point was feeling generous. I'm like, I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10, but I think I'm giving it a 5 out of 10 just because, like, I'm so disappointed with how little it does.
Yeah.
Technically, it makes up for everything with that to not make it like a bad movie, but like, it's just, it's very disappointing and it doesn't say anything. So I have to give it that score. It's higher than Men, so if that means anything to anyone, but
It could have been a good movie.
It could have been.
That's the thing. It could have been a good movie. If I think the biggest mark on it is genuinely just the setting. The setting is what made it, is partially what made it so ineffective as a movie.
Correct.
He could have put it in a completely different setting, and I think it would have worked just fine.
Yeah.
But
could have been a commentary on how, you know, American, like, you know, how we build a lot of stuff through sensationalist media and how that leads to stuff like this.
Yeah.
But no.
It's just a fucking road trip movie.
That's it really what it is. It's another post-apocalyptic road trip movie.
It's just a fucking road trip movie. And I already watched a road trip series with that Fallout show, so I didn't need another one. That being said, I'd have to give this like a 4 or 5 out of 10 probably.
That's fair.
I didn't love it.
So yeah, we came out of retirement for this, just because somebody paid us, like we said.
$20 is yeah. $20.
Like we said, we're not bringing this back officially, but like, if we get enough demand about a movie you guys want to talk about, maybe, we'll just have to see how we feel after watching it.
Yeah.
But right now, this is not going to be a common practice thing. This was just like a weird request that I was like, okay, I guess we'll do it, but
yeah,
it's so odd. That being said, we'll go back into retirement now. Sorry if you guys thought that we would like this for some whatever fuck all reason, but we didn't, Get ready. So yeah.
Gotta go fast!